It's a god-awful small affair to the girl with the mousy hair. But her mummy is yelling no, and her daddy...
Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and that is Life on Mars by David Bowie. David Bowie was born on this day in 1947, just a young man. So here we are with a dear friend of mine, Kevin Kelleher. Kal, as we all know him, for years, his son cartoonist, still does stuff for the Sun. He's back there again, of course, for The Economist magazine. He's their editorial cartoonist and published a perspective entitled Daggers Drawn, 35 Years of Kal Cartoons in The Economist, and won the 2014 Thomas Nast Award for Cartooning on International Affairs from the Overseas Club, Overseas Press Club. Good to have you with us, Kal. Welcome.
Thanks, Mark. Great to see you again.
So the reason you're here today is because of what happened in Paris at Charlie Hebdo, the satirical magazine, where 12 people were murdered at their desks, literally. And you knew a lot of those people.
Mm-hmm.
And you've also been a crusader for freedom of press and the right to people to write what they want and draw what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And draw what they want. I was reading the New York Times the other day about the battle that Turkish cartoonists are going – that's going on in Turkey and how you've defended those people and other people around the world. This is a huge piece with you. And you actually knew some of the folks who worked at Charlie Hebdo.
Yeah. It was a really a dark day for cartooning, obviously, yesterday. But it was also an assault on freedom of expression and, as a result, also an assault on civilized society, I think, in many ways. And I've been actually heartened by the responses that we've seen of citizens around the world to the attack, and showing that this very rare right that has happened for such a small period in man's history, this ability to speak your mind and not worry about reprisal, people value it and want to fight for it.
One of the things that I was thinking about in looking at this, there's a tradition in France, and I'm not my French is not the best. My wife's French is excellent, mine is not, but it's Guayé. And the word comes from back in the time of Marie Antoinette, when the cartoonists and others attacked her and the Pope and others with pretty vile cartoons. And so it's the notion of not just satire, but really sticking it to power in a literal sense.
Mm.
And it is a French tradition to do that from a long time ago, even before any notions of freedom of the press existed. And that's part of what happened here. Could you talk a bit about the people you knew there?
Mm. Well, every country has a different cartoon tradition. And as you point out, France and in England, they have a storied tradition that goes back several centuries. And they embrace the real wickedness in their satire, which I imagine here in the United States, Charlie Hebdo was being published on a weekly basis in Baltimore. There'll be cries of to shut this thing down because it was really scurrilous, I guess, and strong in its take on things. Very vehemently secular, took on all religions, but it took on the powerful politicians and the powerful heads of industry all the time. Also, in that way, it was following a great tradition. The cartooning community in France, different than that we have in the United States, is centered largely around Paris because that's the center of the publishing world there. And as a result, the cartoonists all knew each other, and they would see each other regularly. Well, here in the United States, we have one in every city perhaps, and if we're lucky, we get together once a year. So there was a kind of strong tradition. And also the cartoonists would be guys who worked in a variety of different publications. They wouldn't necessarily be a cartoonist for the Baltimore Sun where, that's your job. You get that one thing. They were working in a whole slew of different publications. So they had lots of different audiences. And one of the cartoonists, Walensky, who passed away yesterday, was 80 years old. So he was kind of the grandfather, I guess, of the cartoon world there, and was well known and well liked. One of the things I found, Mark, was I traveled the world, and wherever I go, I make it my business to find local cartoonists and get a translator and talk about the business and whatever. Is how amazing kindred spirits we are. That cross us, actually, the political divide and gender divides and culture divides. There's something very special about our task of trying to save a society by criticizing the society and tough love and using humor and caricature and satire as this amazingly difficult and tricky tool to make a society better. And because there's so few of us, when we get together, it's a little bit like verbal diarrhea. We can't stop talking about what we're doing. But there's a great kinship. So I've been to many cartoon festivals in France and had the opportunity to meet these guys and others. And, I consider them to be brothers.
So I've been reading a lot about what's happened there. And I know they're after two people right now who they think committed this act. But there's been a lot of interesting things that have happened. And there was I forget the woman's name, but I was reading about this morning, who was a French Muslim woman who was on a TV show and was kind of, even though she was very upset about what happened, then she was attacked, saying, you should separate yourself from this. And she looked at the man and said, why do you think you should separate yourself from this too? Why just me? And that there's been some talking, people, and everybody he starts with, this is horrendous. We think it shouldn't have happened. It's, the murder and the stifling of free speech and the rest. But that some people look at Charlie Hebdo and think, was it Islamophobic?
Mm-hmm.
Was it a place that was racist in some of its cartoons?
Mm-hmm.
And what that fuels in society. And it's a hard thing to say at this moment because people were killed, but just wrestling with some of that reality as well.
Mm. I think that's going to be the next chapter in this discussion. As you point out, the rawness of the incident yesterday and the images which are burned in people's brain.
Yeah.
And I know in France, some are saying that this is kind of like their 9/11. Now, it's not because that they've lost a massive amount of life, but this sort of the symbolic nature of what this means to the heart of their civilization. That yes, so while that's raw, it's hard to have that conversation. But I think it is a really important conversation that should be had and should be a long conversation about the responsible implementation of freedom of expression and how to, in a pluralistic society, to show tolerance. I mean, the incidents yesterday came about through intolerance, the intolerance
right.
of a certain group against our freedoms. But there can also be when you live in a society with many different members and ethnicities and views, is that you have to find a way to make it work for everyone. So freedom of expression is a difficult nut.
And when I saw this, the first reaction was I went through all the kind of Charlie Hebdo and the stuff that they've done and looked at their cartoons, and some were very funny.
Yeah.
They even lampooned over the Christmas. Jesus in a pretty kind of sexualized cartoon about his birth.
Right,
and
right.
Leave it there.
Sure.
They went after lots of people in their cartoons and saying that no power should be sacrosanct, left, right, Muslim, Jewish, Catholic, or whoever. So I'm curious, in the spectrum of people who do cartooning and really the cartoonists who probe the depths of who we are politically and socially, are there lines that you think – I know there are lines for you, but what about the discussions you have around lines?
It's funny because when we cartoons do get together, we do discuss that. What's going on in your culture, in your country? What's going on today? Because this line is moving all the time as to what would be acceptable to your audience.
Right.
But today, of course, whenever you do a cartoon, it's now a global audience thanks to the internet, whatever you do.
Right.
So it is a tricky situation. I know that we've been having this long discussion for decades since the first Muhammad cartoons were published in Denmark that basically started deadly riots around the world, killing hundreds of people. And in my travels in the Middle East, I can tell you that those cartoons are still an open wound to many people there, and not just the extremist Islamists, because they just don't understand how we would criticize their religious leader unless we hated them. And so I've had to go and try to broach the subject of, you know, what should be allowed and what shouldn't be allowed. And it, like you said, you know, the, what you can publish here in Baltimore, you may not be able to publish in, let's say, Birmingham, Alabama. And then what you Birmingham, Alabama, you could certainly would be different than in South Africa. And everywhere you go, it's a different line.
So there are two questions where we have to take this break that I want to ask you. And one just came over this chat here. There's a concept of punching up and punching down in comedy. If someone is lower on the social hierarchy and make fun of people higher up, it's punching up. And what Charlie Hebdo did, as well as the way the editorial board, was clearly punching down at people with less power.
Mm.
So I think that's a discussion people have to have.
Yeah.
But I think we will have on this program. But I want to know just both kind of viscerally and politically, socially, where you were and what happened to you at the moment you heard this story. I'm just imagining you and knowing who you are, what you've been fighting for all these years in terms of freedom of speech, your leading role in cartoonists around the world and pushing that as a political art form. I'm just very curious where you were at that moment and what happened.
Well, it was two feelings. One, I never felt more proud to be doing what I do, understanding that, cartoonists are on the front line of freedom of expression. We know that every day when we're putting our pen to paper, how far we can push things. And then finally when you saw in this battle that you have some fallen comrades, it makes you kind of rally to the cause.
Right.
So there was that side of it. There was also the side, you know, Mark, I was for a time a president of an international human rights group that dedicated to cartoonists. And in some ways this was not surprising. We know the history of Charlie Hebdo has been, you know, target of attacks. We know also some of the cartoonists had bodyguards. And so you can imagine that at some point something would happen. But when the day came, you know, you weren't entirely prepared for it. And you also again, woke up something that I think about that, you know, I am only, you know, one bullet away from a problem here. You know, we have lots of guns in this country and we tread on delicate situations.
Whenever all the time.
You know, when you do cartoons on, you know, religion and guns and other things, you get a pretty violent reaction. And the last thing that came to mind was this thing that I've been pondering, a lot of people have been pondering in these recent days. Is what is it about cartoons that gets people so riled up?
The last question, too, was just going to be that question. But what is it about cartoons and the visualization of an idea that sometimes is more difficult for people to address and hold than the written word? Mm.
Well, Victor Novatsky, the former editor of The Nation.
Nation magazine, yeah.
He came out with a book called The Art of Controversy that he wrote about 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the subject because he found that in his time, in his role of the working in this magazine, that cartoons upset people more than anybody. So we went to try to pursue it. He came up with a couple of notions that I think that are kind of interesting. One, he said, first of all, you can't answer a cartoon. And, you know, when somebody writes something or says something to you, you can respond in words. But when somebody does a cartoon, they don't know how to respond to it. They can't draw another cartoon back.
right.
And that's the first. The second thing is that there's been some neuroscientists have some early study about the way the brain absorbs images. And it goes straight to the kind of the core and the kind of information that absorbs is very, very penetrates deep into your psyche. And then the third thing is that cartoons come from a place of ridicule. And they come from a place of caricature. And so that they are kind of they almost have a kind of a malintent. I mean, there's a criticism involved. You know, they're always at someone's expense. And so people, I think, go after the person who is, you know, originating that thought, thinking that it's a vile thought. And they say, here's my chance to get back at a person who's trying to attack me with this very rare and strong thing. And that is a cartoon.
Well, Cal, it's always great to see you. I miss having you in the studio when you do. I hope that next week or so, as we kind of really wrestle with this issue, that you will come back and for a longer segment and really kind of talk about this with us and others and wrestle with this whole very deep subject. I'm sorry for your loss. And I'm sorry for the attack on the right of all of us to kind of draw and say what we want.
Great. Thanks, Mark.
Always good to see you, Robert.
All right, buddy.
Cal has been with us. And we're going to break here with Going Out of My Head by Little Anthony and the Imperials. Little Anthony, born on this day in 1940, And when I was young, how I danced to that song. We'll be right back.